friendships can set you up for success in every area of your life. If you're taking notes, I'm going to shoot some bullets at you here. Right friendships can set you up for success in every area of your life. Now I'm going to add to the next part, that really matters. Now the flip side, wrong friendships, man, they will lead you down pain, misery, destruction, and just bad, 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 right? Okay? So, this is my thought provoker, brain shaker upper. Write it down. You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. I did not write this, but I'm telling you. Show me your friends that you hang out with, and I'll show you the future. Now, turn over to Proverbs, because Solomon wrote that. Turn over to Proverbs 13. Why is this burning in my heart is because I talk with you, I hang with you, and I see gaps in our lives, and it has to do with friendships. All right. Proverbs 13:20. Now, I wrote the statement, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But Solomon said almost the same thing by saying, he who walks with the wise will be wise, and the companions of fools will be destroyed. So another way, another translation says, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Another one said, a companion of fools comes out badly. All right? It says you suffer when you have the wrong friends. So in other words, if you're hanging out with people that have a better marriage, all right? You hang out with people that are smarter and wiser. Hang out with people who do money better than you. How about people that are cleaner than you? All right? How about if you hang out with people who you just look and you say, man, they got this parenting thing down. You hang out with them. What Solomon says is they'll lift you up. They'll lift you up. So I'm not just talking about people, though. You hang out with friends. Those right friends. How about those right friends that God puts in your place? They will lift you up. Those are right friends. Right friends, all right? Now, if you hang out with the party boys and the Jersey girls, guess what? What happens? They drag you down to their level. To their level. So, my brain shaker upper thought again, you show me your friends, and I promise you I can show you your future. Now, this gets happy at the end. Just grit it, okay? All right? So someone just go, yay, good, all right. Now, I personally, when I started looking at my life and the successes that I've had in my life, they are undoubtedly because God placed people in my life that helped me get the right mindset and even the right direction. Okay? Now, get quick, think. Turn your brain on. Think. Think about those kind of people that you are here, where you are, and success in your life because of right people. Anybody have a couple of those that they just were there, all right? I remember so vividly when God put my friend Pam in my life. I just had Sherry, and she had two small children, and she always had a big smile, and I watched her lovingly command her kids. And I started listening. Now listen, guys, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Jersey. So I had never heard little kids go, yes, ma'am, no, sir, without a paddle on their butt, okay? Her little kids, I was floored, Okay, floored. And because of my friend Pam, that I know, because what had happened was my mom at that time, really shortly after, had passed away. And I got, I don't have a clue about parenting. And I surely don't know what I'm doing. God, help me. And I know that God placed her in my life. It was like a light was glowing over her. And I followed her. To this day, what does Sherry say to Mark? She goes, Mr. Mark. To this day, my kids, and they're in their 20s going Thursdays, they will address you as Miss Joanne. All right? So, God, I know, puts right friends, desires to, okay? And they will impact you. That impact me. Now, how many of you got into some really big trouble, maybe in your BC days, right? I mean, just big, dumb, wrong, got into trouble. You know what I noticed? I never was on the road alone. When I was in trouble, I was always with, as my mother would say, those are the wrong friends, a recipe for disaster, okay? Those wrong friends influenced me, all right? And I didn't raise them up. They influenced me, and man, we were in trouble, okay? So, again, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. I didn't write that. God wrote that through Solomon, all right? Proverbs 13:20. So, go do a little experiment. Take an offering envelope if you don't have a piece of paper. Don't take my cards. Take the offering envelopes. I want to use them up and change the logo and all that stuff. Write real quick. No thinking. Real quick. Write down five of your closest friends. Five of your closest friends. You cannot write your spouse. You cannot write your kids. You cannot write your dog. You cannot write your imaginary friend. Five close friends right now. Write them on a piece of paper. Come on. This is a test. Write them on those that you you can call at 2 a.m. in the morning. Those of you, those friends that, they just know everything about you. Write down five of your closest friends. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on. Okay. Done? Okay. Paper's down. Pens down, test over. I used to hate during class, you know, the teachers would scream that. Pens down, papers down, fold that up, sit on it. Okay? Don't look at that. Now, did a little Googling, studying. Does anybody know what sociologists do? They study people. That's what your major, right? No, something like, okay, I remember something. Okay, sociologists study people. So I did a little Googling, and actually this happened 4 years ago. I had to take a test and answer that question. All right. And then I started researching. But sociologists and actually people who do leadership trainings, experts, say, now I didn't say this, ready? They found this out after studying. They found out that you are the average of your five closest friends. Let that brain go around. You are the average. In almost every area of the life, of your life, almost every area of your life, you'll be in the middle. So think about the gang that you're around. You're kind of like in the middle. So financially, you have these five friends. You don't make more or less. You're kind of in the middle. I'll save that one for later. How about morally? How about of course, this is somebody else. You know, they're just the big party boys, and last night they went out and partied. Five of your closest friends got totaled because that's the middle, and you might be in the middle, but you didn't do that last night, right? I was on a hayride. Yeah, after the rain. Okay, and we had Pepsi, so we didn't do that. Okay, now, how about if you are pursuing God with all your heart? That means two or three of your friends, because the average, will be pursuing God with all their heart. Those are the right kind of friends, right? Okay, now. So, you will be the average of your five closest friends. Like it or not, your mother was right. You tell my kids this, I'm like, you can't hang around with them, because you will be the average of the people you run around with. Studies show this. Actually, God's got about 10 good scriptures, and I'll give it to you. God knew this, all right? Now, how many of you know that to true? Just kind of true, and you think about the people you used to hang around with or you're hanging around. So, again, everybody, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. So, question you should be asking, am I hanging out with the right friends? Write that down. You should be, am I hanging out with the right friends? Or do you want to become like the friends you're hanging out with? All right? Or do I really want to please God and maybe my friends aren't a good influence? All right? I'm shaking you. Shake. I want to see brains smushing, banging around, okay? So, take for instance, if you want a good marriage and yours is kind of in the rough zone, what should you be doing? Hanging out with those that you go, like my friend Pam. Oh, man, I'm going to knock on the door and say, will you be my friend, all right? Okay, how about if you want to be stronger financially, you know your finances are halfway down the toilet, all right, then maybe you should hang around people who understand finances, okay? Those are the ones that don't go shopping. They're the shopaholics, okay, so that one, all right. Now, how about this? Because I had to do this too. How about you want to physically get better, stronger, your body, you want to physically get in better shape, all right? So that means I probably shouldn't be hanging around with the couch potatoes, the guys that have the habit of ho-hos, Twinkies, and ding-dongs, right? That's their habit. Because I get sucked down the toilet with those kind of things. So, all right, so I'm making you think. So, again, number one, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And number two, you are the average in most areas of your life of the gang you hang with. Okay? Now, it's getting better. It's getting better. So let's have a definition of friendship. I'll make you laugh now. Friendship. A friend is someone you may or not know and who will accept your friendship. They will like you and comment on your post. So says Facebook. That is Facebook's definition for, turn over to Proverbs 17:17. Like you, comment on you. How many friends do you have? All right. Now, if you don't know anything about Facebook, I'm so sorry. Get one of your grandkids to explain it to you and pull it up, all right? But I'm talking to the, okay. So really, that's not it, okay? But you, listen, guys, you have to admit that this Facebook is really making an impact on how we do friends. Thank you. You can let it call out. Now, the real Proverbs 17:17, I'm not there, hang on, 17:17. A friend loves at all times. That sounds like a covenant friend. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Another translation says, a friend, I like this one, is always loyal, and a brother is born to help you in time of need. That's a friend. Everybody say friend. Okay. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if you had a handful of those? Like five or six? Okay. A friend that loves at all times. Okay, now I'm not talking about the short season friends. I remember when Cassie was playing field hockey, and I'd be at that field in the bleachers with the bleacher moms and dads, and we got like this until the season was over. So if you think that's a friend, I found out they're not, all right? Now, I'm talking about friends that know you for decades. Who is it? Cindy was telling me her daughter has friends since elementary school. Oh, that's amazing, all right? That's wonderful. That's good, okay? How about friends that you've known for decades? Friends that you know their spouses and kids? I'm defining friends, okay? Friends that you have had an exchange of their life into your life. friends that have made you better, made you better. Because I needed some better. All right. That's a friendship, a covenant friendship, okay? Now, that's a Jonathan and David, all right? Now, what do these friends look like? Well, how about this is a friend that's going to tell you when you are about to do something so stupid, okay? How about this is a friend that lovingly kicks you in the backside and says you are going to get hurt. You are going to hurt your marriage. You're going to hurt your kids. You're going to hurt your job. You better get your in gear. That's a friend, all right? How about a friend that just celebrates with you? Celebrates with you. And how about a friend that will sit with you and cry with you? Okay? I got scriptures going through my head. You got them? All right, now. What if you had a handful of those friends? What if you had a community of those friends? What if you had friends that stayed with you for decades? Okay, now, the problem is, according to those studies, back to that, okay, now a day in America, people have two close friends. And listen, that's in the past 25 years. So if you're 27 years ago, old, this doesn't compute, but if you're like in the 50 age group, you look back in the last 25 years ago, you did have six close friends. But they're finding out now, the research said, most people have one out of four have none. One out of four. Now, this is Americans, okay? I'm talking about this is because you can think of other cultures, it's different. But 25%, one out of four Americans don't even have one close, covenant, intimate, decade friend. Okay, now, why? Why? Listen, I see you. I hear you. I live with you. I don't live with you. Okay, I know you, okay? And I see this, and it's alarming. Okay, so why? Now, the study I did gave 10 reasons, and I'm placing three of them in the order that I like, okay? Number one is we supposedly, I think this is one of the reasons why we don't do friends like we did 25 years ago. This is why one out of four people don't even have a best close friend. Because of our increased hours that we work. Now, personally, I don't buy that. But that's all right. Okay, so the other one is the rising of divorce. Because listen, I see. I actually had this happen to me. A dear friend of ours, Jack and ours, got divorced. And you know what happened? They start splitting up everything. You get the house, I get this. You get this, I get this. And then it comes down to the friend. I remember calling Cindy up, and I said, I am so mad at you because I feel like I have to choose friends. These were friends of ours that we met out at Rhema in the early 80s. And I said, I was struggling. Should I be Rex or Cindy? Rex, Cindy. And eventually, it just turned out I was friends with Cindy. Okay, so that's some reasons why we see. Just some. That's just my little trivia ones. But this is the top reason. Okay, now, I didn't write this, but I see this every day. I read this every day. The top reasons why we don't have friends is of social media. Okay, now, it's not saying I don't like it. I like going on Facebook, and I like my text message, and I don't know what Twitter does, and I do know how to post, and people have Instagram, which Joy commanded me I will get it so she can send me pictures. Okay, all of that stuff I just listed is called social media. We have an explosion of social media in, 10 years? 10 years, it's hit the roof, and it's going to take it off. All right, now, because of that, it is redefining how we do friends. It redefines how we do friends. Social media has redefined in your brains how you do friends. Because let me tell you, 30 years ago, I could just see my mother doing this, all right, 30 years ago, gets on the phone and calls all her friends and tells her what she's eating. And then she takes a picture of it. Oh, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. And then posts it. So you all know that she made French toast 30 years ago. Even if they had the technology. But listen, nowadays, we don't think twice about doing that. We don't think twice about that. And instead of being concerned about close, intimate, sharing decade friends, we're not concerned. That's scary. We don't even, guess because we don't get it. We don't get it. We're not concerned about that. It doesn't bother us, okay? And it's scary that people write their feelings and thoughts and broadcast it. And there's bad guys reading that stuff and they come after you. But I mean, just besides that part, that's like a no-brainer. That you just spread all of this stuff all over for broadcasting and you think you have friends. Okay, because they go, like, comment on your post, comment on your post, comment on your post. Okay, I know I'm being a little harsh. But guys, I cry. I'm telling you, I cry. And I'm going, God, I can't. Listen, my very dearest friend is Bev. We've been friends for decades. But decades ago, I noticed we're becoming friends. And I said, Bev, I will be your worst friend. I'm just going to be your worst friend because I don't have that much time because of who I am and what I do. And she's such an ornery, stubborn thing. She said, I don't care. You're my friend, you know? And we have. And I really can say many times I'm her worst friend, okay? But listen, there's a whole bunch of you. You need friends. You need covenant friends, all right? And you know what? This whole social media, it's good. It is good because it connects. I was just talking to someone, oh, I found my friends from high school. That's good. There's connects. And people in ministry, they post all sorts of great things, okay? But what's happening is it replaces intimate friendship. It replaces friends. It does. It really does. So how many likes do you... Oh, excuse me. Shout out. How many friends do you have on Facebook? Oh, you need to look. Because one of my friends... Yeah, okay. One of my friends says, oh... Pastor D, you have this many friends on Facebook. I didn't even look. All right, they look for me. All right. Hi, yi, yi. All right. But listen, we are more alone in our lives than ever before. But you got 2,000 friends. Thank you. Okay, no more calling out. You guys will get crazy on me, okay? Just playing off on calling out. All right, now. Take, for instance, this happened Thursday. This past week, I told someone, all I did was put out fires. Some of them were the big raging California fires, okay? And I was personally feeling the weight of it. And I actually talked to Mark, and I thought, man, I just need one of Carol Salmon's big squeeze your hair off your head hugs, because Carol hugs, okay? And I don't really like hugging. I needed a hug. And that's when I'm putting this message together, and I thought, oh, my gosh. I'm actually craving relationship, not a, oh, I feel like this, oh, I'll pray for you, on social, on Facebook, all right, I needed that, okay, so, now, after slamming you all over, say, I love Pastor D, okay, I want to talk about being a friend, I want to talk about the friend we need to be. The friend we need to be, and I'm calling this the lost art of friendship, okay? Basically, title of the message, how to be a friend. Got your title, how to be a friend, okay? So, number one, if you're taking notes, learn to be present. Learn to be present, okay? So everybody say, I am going to develop my friendships face to face. You need to be present, okay? Now, interesting. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't sit down and send an attachment and say, go read it. No! He said, come follow me face to face, all right? Come follow me. Hey, take a journey with me. Come have breakfast with me and walk to the next village. Come be present with me. Think about friends, all right, now. Now, it's interesting. The reason why Jesus did that, he said, I know the Father, and you need to be with me so you can learn of my Father. That's part of it. Now, I know I'm just trying to make a point, but listen, he was saying, you hang with me. You'll know what I know. You'll love what I love. It'll change you, okay? So be present, be present, be present. Now, how many of you just get irked when your kids, especially if you have older kids and they have cell phones, because none of you give six-year-olds cell phones, right? Okay, and you're sitting down to the dinner table, and they're all texting. How does that make you feel? I'm ticked, okay? Or how about I threw Sherry's across the room. I'm talking to her. And this glove, wing, okay? But the wrath of God is not good. No, the wrath of man is not good. Okay, I got news. Your kids don't like it either. And you sit and you post, you're on Facebook and they're going, Mommy, 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 wait a minute. I have to take a picture of my casserole and send the recipe on Pinterest. All right? And all that other stuff, okay? Be present. Everybody say that. Be present. Okay. Now, Paul wrote, turn over to Hebrews 10. Got some nice scriptures here for you. Everybody go, ha, ha, ha. That's fun. That's good. Past Hebrews, it's before Peter. It's before James. Here it is. Hebrews 10:24. Be present. Be present. Okay. Now, Paul wrote Hebrews zillions of years ago. But I want to tell you, this is more for today than I can imagine. Because the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? This scripture, listen, it says, Sorry. Hebrews 10. Gosh. 10. Where is it? 24. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Okay. Let's go up to 24. Let us consider one another. Consider who? One another. Well, let's consider each other. Consider each other. Let us consider each other. You gotta look at it. Let us consider each other, okay? Let us consider each other. I lost my place, sorry. You knew that. In order to stir up love and good works. All right, now. That's covenant friendship. You're hanging out and you go, hey, you know, instead of just running and playing and movies, hey, you know, we ought to do something that's going to make a difference in our neighborhood or in our community. Like sign up for Superhero Fest. You know, I'm going to put an advertisement in there. Or, hey, you know, instead of just doing our stuff together, why don't we just go help Harvest a Blessing on Saturday? Right? Stir one another up to good works. Another translation says, motivate one another to acts of love, service, and good works, okay? So when you get together with your group, you know that five or six that you have, you're thinking, how can we make a difference in the kingdom of God? Those are pretty cool friends. How do we make a difference in the kingdom of God, okay? Stir one another up to good works. In Tulsa, they do this all across the country, but I was actually visiting Sherry 2 years ago, and she said, hey, Mom, pick me up. I was running back and forth to Rhema with her car, and she says, you got to be back at my office because we're going to a school, and you got the car, so you got to go. I was like, I love schools. I love kids. This is great. Okay, we get in the car, and I think I've already told you this. It was a group of businessmen It was a businessman, and I don't remember the details. If his wife was a teacher or he knew somebody on the school board, and there was a lot of talk on how low the kids that were scoring in the city schools, Tulsa City Schools, and they're rough too. Okay, so through and it was Christians through prayer and the Holy Ghost, they started putting out in the word of mouth. Would you leave your job and pick up a Happy Meal and go to the elementary school and take kids out of lunchroom and sit down with them and have lunch? Now, for some of these kids, they don't get a Happy Meal. So, but for other kids, that's all they live on, okay? And be a friend. It's not a friend. You do not be best friends with adults, kids and adults. I'm going to shoot that one down. Okay, you're not best friends, kids and adults. Be a mentor. Be an influence. Be an influence. And this thing grew, that these city schools had. I went there that day, and I must have saw 30 adults come walking in the door, some in suits, this retirees, women, all shapes and sizes of society coming in with their Happy Meals. Sign in. They knew exactly where we were going. I was with Sherry. I was just following her. And there was this little girl. Miss Sherry's here. And we sat down and we had a Happy Meal. We played games. Some of them were reading books. There was no homework. It was just fun. Somebody showed the love of God. But you have to be present. Like. It doesn't do it. Okay? It doesn't do it. You can. There's so many things you can be present on. All right? I just had to tell you that one. That's wonderful. Okay. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Let us not neglect our meetings. Not neglect our meeting together. Say that with me. Not neglecting our meeting together. Man, somebody's missing it. They're neglecting. We got a lot of empty chairs. Got to say that. Okay. In the Greek, those two words, meeting together, have this connotation, and it's only written a couple places in the New Testament. Meeting together with a spiritual purpose. So I'm going to read it again. Let us not neglect our meeting together with a spiritual purpose, as some do, but encourage one another. Okay, why is Paul telling you to meet together? Now, I'm talking friends, not so much church here, but I'm going to talk about church. You can put it in. Why? I'm telling you guys, there is tremendous power when you meet together. There's power when you meet together. Write that down. Meet together. Power. Okay? Now, listen, it's not just boom. It's power in your presence. You come and you be presence. It does something. And I learned this a long time ago. Jim, remember Val, our friend in Tulsa? Her dad had just passed away. We'd been friends for a year, and just good friends, actually really covenant friends, just great friends. And I knew about her parents had split up, and her mom was off the chart, and her dad, they had just lost track, and he had come back into her life in the last 9 months. And she gets a phone call, and he's suddenly dead. And she calls me, and I didn't know what to say. I hung with the phone, and Jack, good thing he had more brains than I did, Dee, get in the car. Get in the car. We're going. And I'm in the car. I'm in torment. I cannot think of what to say to my friend Val. I was like, and I'm dying 100 deaths on the inside because I can't think what to say to my covenant friend. So she opens the door, and she just, I just did this. And, you know, I don't like this huggy thing. Hug her, and she just cries. And we sit down, and she just talks like mile a minute. And then I think we had to be someplace, so we did not stay like 5 hours or something. We were there for a little bit. Then she went, and they had the ceremony for her dad, and it was I couldn't go to it. It was far away, and I don't know what was going on. But the next time I saw her, we taught together. We taught together at a Christian school. Oh, so much fun. Best parts of my life. She comes up to me, and she goes, Dee, thank you, listen to what she said, for talking to me. And I wanted to go, I didn't say anything. I couldn't think of anything. It's a power of presence. All right. And as I thought of this, I remember when my brother passed away, first brother, I have a twin brother, and he was 20 years old. He was in a hit-and-run, drunk driver, killed. Now, he was kind of in the place he shouldn't have been walking on the street, but regardless. I was at college. I came back home, and we're at the, what do you call it? That's when they do the big funeral home services. And all of a sudden, I see my bestest friend through high school come through the doors of this service. And her name is Linda Holoff, and she is as Jewish as you get, and I was this Catholic girl. And she's little, and I was, you know, we were like the odd couple. And she comes to the door, and she is sicker than a dog. She can't even talk. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. The Lord said, what was so powerful? I said, God, I just needed Linda there. It wasn't her words. There is power, guys, in your presence. Okay, so just don't hit like and write a comment and post it. It is not going to impact you or the other person, okay? Okay, let's see. Let's move right on. All right. Okay, now the other part about being present. Sometimes you're present, but you're not present. Sometimes you're present, but you're not present. You're physically present, but you're not emotionally present. All right, do not jab the person next to you who's always doing that to you, okay? All right, turn over to Hebrews over that 25. Let us not give up the habit of the power of meeting together as some have. Okay. The art of friendship, how to be a friend. Number one was be present. Number two, be open and transparent. Be open and transparent. Okay, so you know the scripture in James 5, confess your sins one to another. Now, I know you confess your sins to God, but you really don't have to confess your sins to God because God knows everything, but you do confess your sins to God. But this one says, confess your sins one to another. Why? Confess your sin. Okay, turn over there. Look over there. James 5:16. You write that down and go look at that. Let that go bam in your head. Confess your sins one to another. It's not just to God. Confess your sins to each other. To people. Not a post. Confess it to people. Okay, why? It says, the next scripture, that you might be healed. That you might be healed. Now, we think of healing, cut, Band-Aid, sew the stitches up. No, healing, Jesus died, healing on the cross for us. Spiritually, emotionally, all right? Okay, so take for instance, I have this bestest friend, my covenant friend, a trusted friend, because I'm going to say, hey, I am really having a hard time with anger issues. Man, my teenager son, man, I just wanted to deck him. I cannot deal with him anymore. And my trusted covenant friend says face to face, hey, I know what you're going through. And they give you good godly advice, okay, godly advice. And then they grab hands and said, can I pray for you? That's why you have to be present and transparent, because sometimes we just walk around, especially post, people who post. I'm telling you, I read them, and besides being ridiculous in some stuff, but people have an image. I get an image by reading all your posts that you are this type of person, but you are never really transparent face to face, okay? So ditch the image and be transparent, be open, share. Share what you're going through. There is nothing better when you finally are sitting face to face with somebody and you say, hey, listen, I know that. I know you could have just chucked your kid off and whatever, but listen, I believe you're going to make it. I believe in you. I know this is going to get better because God says da 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 da. That only happens when you're face to face, and when you're present, face to face, and open instead of, you know, not transparent. So be open, be transparent. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let me think. Okay, what happens when you are open and transparent? Now think about Joyce Myers. How many people love Joyce Myers? Like Joyce Myers. Okay, why? tells you her dirty laundry and all about her boo-boos, big boo-boos, and how she's just used to be terrible. And guess what happens? You connect. I love her. I go, some days I go, hey, I'm not that bad. Other days I'm like, oh man, she's as bad as I was. Okay, so why do people like Joyce Myers? Because you connect with her weaknesses. All right, now listen, I admire people who are strong. I admire those. I love reading books about people's lives that are just amazing. I admire them. But I connect, you connect with people that have shared their ups and their downs. And that only happens if you're going to be transparent. But if you're walking in all the time, you know, I love Sherry does this. Blitz down, shaking together, running over. You ever see her do that? She talks really fast. You walk in like that all the time. I'm like, I'm pitiful. You're perfect. You know, a good friend will be transparent, okay? So probably the most impacting part of my life, in the worst days of my life, the hardest days of my life, now the second hardest, way back 25 years ago, at that time I thought it was the worst. It's amazing, you live long enough, you have more worst. But okay, but it was the worst time of my life, and we would hop in the car and drive down to Dave and Patty's for home group. There was a bunch of them, and we were there. Oh, I don't even know how many of them. I can name all these. I am still friends with this home group. How many of you go to a home group and you've got some of those friends, okay? Yeah. Because they're my decades. Some of them are my decade friendships because we were face-to-face. We were transparent. We were present. We prayed for one another, and they became friends. Guys, small groups are amazing. You need one. Okay? They're just amazing. All right. So, they encourage you. Now, again, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I believe God instructed me to share this message today. I believe because some of you are sitting here, and you opened up your paper. You can look now. And you may have only had two, one, or none. I think there's a lot of people. And actually, I'm working on it because I had to take this test 4 years ago. I was working with, some people don't agree with this, but right after Jack passed away, my old friends from Tulsa, Kathy and Ernie Beers, Kathy is finishing a course. I was going to be her first guinea pig on life coach. She said, D.A., would you like to be the first guinea pig, and I will let you take my life coach for free? Well, free is good. I didn't even know what a life coach did. But part of that test, because listen, I don't know what planet I was living on, but you might not have either, but part of that test was list your close, intimate friends. And I didn't have six. I had one. Because I'd gotten busy in life. It takes pain to be a friend. It takes time to be a friend. But I was probably, again, at the next lowest part of my life. You know, we'll see what happens in the next 25 years. And I realized I needed more close, intimate friends. And I have been working on it. So this past weekend, I went out Friday night and Saturday night. Sherry was like doing cartwheels. Wow, Mom, you do, you know. You laugh. But Angie was there. We went with Angie and her friends to go on a hayride, and they're all dog-loving people. So, you know, I'm sitting there just eating cupcakes. But they're really fun. I'm like, no interaction on all their dogs and stuff. But they are very loving. But when we got, I said, so we did our hayride, got back in the to the house, and I said, hey, guys, it's 9:30. You know what happens when 9:30 comes? I hit the wall. Okay, that's it. And I said, you know, I really should be in pajamas by now. And I said, and I tell you what, I never go out on Saturday night. This is like, wow. And you know what every single one of them said? We never go out Saturday night either. I was like, you don't preach on Sunday. What the heck are you doing on Saturday night? I know what I'm doing on Saturday night. What are you doing? You don't go out? Man, we got to do friends better, right? Right, okay. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, that you would just keep this alive in our hearts. Just push us on in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, how many of you would be really honest before God? You can close your eyes, but I want to see this. And raise your hand and say, I need to do friends better. Okay. I need to do friends better. How many of you would just be really honest, close your eyes, and say, I don't think my friends are lifting me up. I need to do friends better. How many of you would say, I got my eyes closed, I'm not looking here. This is when I walk into this thing here. Okay, I wrote down some good provokers here. How many of you would say, I have close friends, but my life is so busy, and I want deeper, fuller, pursue God more with my friends. Those are, you know, the friends that you just do ho-hos, happy-happies, all right? All right. Father, you saw those hands. Holy Spirit, you track them down like a dog on a trail here, okay? I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love, and you remind them this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm building on this. I want to talk next week about a community of friends, not just yours, okay? I would like you to, if you raise your hand, say, God, before the year's up, I want more. I want deeper friends, all right? And you, now, listen, friends don't happen by accident. You have to pursue. You have to put movement to your butt. That's not good to record. Okay, you have to do that. All right? Now, God will place people. If you ask God, I want more friends, God will place them in your life, but you have to do something. So on Saturday night, invite a whole bunch of people over. Okay. And start testing. And if this bunch doesn't work, chuck them out, do another bunch next week. That's okay. Okay, I got to tell you another quick story. Jack had this one friend, and we started going, you know, hanging out with them and stuff, but his wife, we just had no connection. She's like this wallflower, and he said, would say jump, and she'd jump, and you know, I don't do that. So I said, Jack, you can go hang out with so-and-so, but we're going to get a couple friends, you know, so you can chuck them out and start all over. All right, praise the Lord. I love you guys. Amen. Have a wonderful day, a night. Put some candy in there. Come to Hallelujah, the Superhero Fest. Amen. Hallelujah.